Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to this podcast, Yovana the Ageless, where our mission is to unleash everything about living ageless in collaboration with the experts in ancient healing practices from all across the world. Yovana the Ageless is an experiential ancient lifestyle online platform with focus on ageless living. This space has emerged from our innate desire to impart knowledge and experience on living ageless at body, mind, and consciousness level. Yovana ecosystem is all about knowledge sharing and living a traditional lifestyle driven from a medley of worldly timeless wisdom of yoga, Ayurveda, traditional Chinese medicine, microbiotics, Qigong, and raw alkaline and living food philosophy. At Yovana, we share this timeless wisdom in collaboration with experts through this podcast and courses on our Yovana platform conducted by global experts in ancient modalities. On this platform, we discuss everything from foods to rituals to lifestyle to yogic and ancient movement practices like Qigong, Ayurveda, and much more. Here you learn to live a way of life to regain Yovana, the youth, living by the Rith, the universal order of healing and agelessness. We invite you to realize the divinity of your innate potential to remain ageless with us on this platform, Yovana.
Good evening, everyone. I hope you're doing well. So I'm back today and we are going to talk about something slightly different from what we've been talking in the previous sessions. So it's about the macrobiotic diet. So we will have Ms. Dipti Sehgal with us, who's a certified macrobiotic nutritionist, and she'll be here with us to speak about what are the different kinds of diets which are being followed, what are the different advantages and disadvantages of those diets. Along with that, she'll be also reiterating on the fact that how Ayurveda and macrobiotic nutrition is related. So with all those questions in our mind, we'll proceed with the session today. So I'm just waiting for her to join. So before the sessions, I've been, you know, talking to her, and it brought my attention that it's very important that we talk about different kinds of, things that are being floating around. So it's also related to alkaline diets, the acidic diets. So there is an imminent importance that, we understand how they are related to human health. So I'm glad that she agreed to join us for today's session, and we'll be. Feel free to write any time to either of us for any questions. And so I think she's here.
Hello.
Hello, Dipti. How are you?
Hi, Dr. Kriti. I'm great. How are you? Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. So I was just, highlighting that we've been speaking about different sorts of medicines and therapies, but this is something which we haven't spoken about earlier. So it's very important mm-hmm. that we understand how this is important, and people right. should understand how Ayurveda also talks about. Yes. So so glad that you have spared your time today to talk to us.
Thank you so much.
So please
it's a pleasure.
Go about sure. and tell us about yourself.
Okay, so I am, of course, I am, my journey into wellness started as a nutritionist. And in last 10 years, what I've done is try to understand foods from various perspectives. So primarily, my journey started as a macrobiotic nutritionist, which are the same principles that I follow in my practice today as well. But the whole idea was when I got into foods and wellness, macrobiotics is where I started with. But then gradually, as a part of my journey, I really wanted to understand, because macrobiotics is more of a, traditional or ancient way of looking at foods. So I really wanted to understand what is the modern perspective of foods, like how we see in modern times is more about if we want to lose a weight, it's more of a calorie counted plan that we generally follow or we are given. Or if we are looking to build up our muscles, then it's more of a protein kind of a diet that we are up to. And that's how, different kinds of fat diets do exist, which is a modern way of kind of fixing certain things inside. If I just have to give one liner to this is more about you have some imbalances inside the body, and through specific fat diets you are trying to fix those issues. But when you're fixing these issues, does not necessarily mean that you're fixing the root causes of your problem. Okay, I'll give an example. Like for example, a protein diet. Okay, so somebody who really wants to build up the muscles is where somebody would want to go ahead with a protein diet primarily. Like this is one of the scenarios. Now, when you are working on this kind of a pattern, does not necessarily mean that you're also working on your systems which help you absorb your protein better. Okay, or which create conditions inside the body where whatever kind of diet you're consuming is working for you 100%. So you know, this is what I understood as a part of my education in the modern way of understanding foods. But having you know, kind of gone through these different kinds of approaches of diet, both from the modern and ancient perspective, which is about, you know, alkaline diet. Then it's, what I also studied was raw and living foods diet, which is a deep, still even more deeper level when you think of healing your body with foods. So after, you know, kind of if I have to just summarize, like, you know, what is the approach that I prefer following now is, of course, for the understanding of what kind of nutrition what foods carry, there is no better approach than how modern science has given us those tools to see, you know, what kind of nutrition each foods have. But when it
Yeah.
comes to adopting certain principles or designing a diet from the perspective of healing and not quick fixing, I do not abide by modern way of looking at diet. I don't like my diet plans. I never count, you know, calorie counting and all that stuff is not a part of my program. I don't do that generally. So that's one way of looking at it. The other way is what I majorly also look in my kind of plans is I make sure that my diet plans are very high on alkalinity. So this is one concept that which is the cream of the programs that I generally do. Like, you know, not going ahead with the calorie concept, but making sure that your diet is very high on alkalinity. So broadly, this is what I, you know, kind of practice from the food perspective.
Yeah, so that's very important that you know you are highlighting the fact that it's not important to always go after the calories because there are different ways in which a body you know needs things to heal itself. So
Right.
that environment, that nutrition is very important. So
Right.
since we are talking about the alkaline and the acidic diets, I would like you to explain to us in details that what these diets comprise of and how does one comes to know you know one come to know about whether he needs the alkaline diet or not, because there are several indicators that the body gives to us, and it's important to understand those indicators. So please highlight.
Sure. So, see, okay, when we talk of alkaline diet, rather, I would say alkaline diet is one part of alkaline way of life. It is a lifestyle. Diet, of course, diet becomes a part of it. When we are working on a lifestyle, diet also automatically becomes a part of it. So, and foods do help us become alkaline, but it's not the only thing that we need to do when we are walking the path of being alkaline from inside. It's all about you as a whole. It's not just about one component of you. Why alkaline diet is important and for whom it is important? I would say 99.9% of the people today really need an alkaline diet, like irrespective of you have a diabetes or a cancer or joint pains or aches or skin issues or eczema, psoriasis, cough, cold. Whatever, like, you know, any of the health conditions that I have mentioned or any of the ones that I have not mentioned, everywhere the concept of alkalinity is very, very valid. Sorry, for the simple reason that this is not th this is so this concept is about understanding how your body functions at the root level.
Yeah.
If I have to broadly explain you, let's just try to understand what is happening inside the body. Okay, so when we consume foods, it's going through a process of digestion. And after digestion, whatever foods we've consumed, the body is extracting nutrients out of those foods. And these nutrients are then getting mixed into your blood, and the blood is carrying these nutrients to each and every cell of the body. And that's how the nutrients are being circulated to each and every part of the body. So precisely this is the process that is happening, that is going on inside your body. Now, when we follow a modern way of diet, okay, we are not concerned about how your digestion is extracting the nutrients. These nutrients which are being extracted, how are they being mixed into the blood, whether or not they are being mixed into the blood right, whether your blood is carrying these nutrients throughout the body and passing out to your cells. So modern diet is not does not delve into all these details. What alkalinity is all about is creating ideal environment for the body internally so that all these systems function fine, so that when you consume foods, your digestive system has enough power to to extract all those nutrients 100%, then your small intestine has all the power to absorb whatever nutrients have been extracted, and your colon has all the power to push out the toxicity. So, you know, when you are working at that depth of making sure that whatever you've consumed is digested 100%, is absorbed 100%, and whatever excess was there is eliminated 100%, then you are not burdening your body. There is nothing inside that can kind of deteriorate or putrefy or tomorrow give rise to bacteria or viruses and create that toxic environment inside. This toxic environment only in later stages converts into a diabetes or a cancer or these chronic health conditions, anywhere from cold or a sinus or even cancer. So,
yeah.
So you know, the kind of food choices that we make when we start working on an alkaline way of diet, the whole idea is that we make sure that the foods that we are consuming are creating ideal working environment for the organ systems inside the body. And ultimately, if you know, at a very broad level, it boils down to making sure that the alkalinity is circulating in your blood. So, you know, when that alkalinity is in the blood, it is there in the cells. When it is there in the cells, it shows everywhere on you. It shows on your skin health, it shows on your hair health, it shows on your moods, on your health condition, everywhere. So this is the path of reversal, I would say. Like if we really are wanting to kind of live that life where we do not get bogged by these health conditions coming from anywhere from cold or a cough or a sinus or these, you know, nagging health issues that keep coming every now and then. And then over years, we just keep living a very healthy kind of a lifestyle. Then there is no better approach than getting onto an alkaline way of eating.
Yeah. And, you know, when we talk about alkalinity and these concepts, we see that a lot of RO companies and even packaged drinking water, which says that it is alkaline, and they will cover it in the black bottle. So as scientists, we do understand that, you know, the preserving that kind of pH over a period of time is very difficult, because ions keep on interacting in a system and they keep on changing their pH. So that is really a part of the fad. So what will you say about that? And what are your general suggestions that people can follow on their day-to-day routine, so that they don't fall into those traps and understand what different habits they can adopt on a daily basis, which will help them go towards that path?
Okay. So see, before I get on to what the marketing companies are coming up with, let me just explain from the numerical perspective, what does this concept of acid and alkaline mean for our body? Okay. So it has been signed. So before I get on to even this concept from the human body perspective, let me just give you an analogy that will help you understand this concept better. So in 1980s or something, when computers became the computer world was just growing, computers were working right only in a specific environment, right? So they needed an AC environment. If you take the systems out of the environment, there was a high probability that the system will not work. They needed that cold environment to work and to get started, right? So similar to this analogy, our body needs a certain environment inside the body to make sure that the toxicity does not get accumulated, that this toxicity does not give rise to viruses and bacteria, and the system cleanly keeps working inside without any extra load on these systems. Okay, so this is where the concept of acid and alkalinity comes into the picture. How is it seen in the scientifically, how is it seen in the human body? So so this I'm talking of from the perspective of blood pH. Okay, so scientifically it has been proven that our blood pH has to be somewhere around 7.4. So this is a very narrow range, like 7.4 is the ideal number, but anywhere between 7.38 to 7.4 of pH in the blood is what the environment that our body will always maintain, so that the entire systems keep functioning fine. What happens is, when our diets and lifestyles are not correct, or you know, we are very highly exposed to pollutants. So whatever is creating a lot of toxins inside the body, ultimately what happens is this number tends to get fluctuated because of extra acids inside the body. Now these acids may be coming from, maybe we are very high on these cola drinks, or maybe we are consuming a lot of highly refined foods, or even if maybe we are not breathing out well, we are retaining a lot of carbon dioxide inside the body. So this is also a volatile acid inside the body. So this number of 7.4 gets a little disturbed, but the body cannot afford to disturb this number. It will make sure that this number ranges between 7.38 to 7.4 for all the human beings across the world since ages till today, you know, since human evolution, this is how the environment has been maintained inside the body. And this is a very automatic process. We don't know, but the body is automatically working towards it. So what happens is when we are...
capacity, yeah. So if
Yes.
body is buffering capacity, it is
Yes.
working continuously to maintain
Yes.
that pH.
Exactly. So as a part of, so where do the imbalances start to happen? This imbalance will start to happen when you are not supporting your body with alkalinity and your body is accumulating a lot of acids inside the body. Now, these acids, if they get mixed into the blood, we cannot survive for even one day. So the body is very smart. Okay, what it will do is it will compromise on some internal functionality to keep you alive. Okay, so when we see look at diseases from a holistic perspective or a macrobiotic perspective, we do not look at diseases from the perspective of something negative coming to us. It is a sign or a knocking that you are not either eating right or you are not living right, because of which your body is becoming acidic. And this acid, what it is doing is it is leaching you out of, leaching out your own resources out of the body and compensating to make your blood more alkaline. Because of which the imbalances have imbalances. So blood definitely is becoming alkaline. It is maintaining at 7.4, but at the cost of compensating the functioning of body in different parts of in different areas. And the most hit areas are if you're very acidic, the most hit areas would be your skeletal system, because that is where you hold a lot of minerals. So the body will automatically leach out calcium out of your body and mix it into the blood to make it more high on pH. Over time, what will happen? Over time, you will start to develop a lot of weak bone conditions, aches and pains, joint pains, conditions like osteoporosis and all these conditions. So this is one of the implication when your body is acidic, because the body is just trying to make you alkaline because you are not supporting it. Body is finding out its own ways to support itself, which is why it becomes very, very important for you to live on a very alkaline kind of a diet. Because if you really want to save yourself from these degenerative diseases over years, you have to be alkaline. If you will not be alkaline, your body will find out ways on its own to make itself alkaline at the cost of compromising on other health conditions that may arise. And so over time, when you see that cough and cold happening, mucus conditions going up, or aches and pains going up, arthritic conditions going up, cancer going up, it's because your body is so high on acidity and you're not realizing that you're not feeding it the right stuff. You're not living right, because of which these conditions are gradually manifesting on top of it. So this is precisely how, what is the science of acid alkalinity and how you look at it from the body perspective. That number of 7.4 is very, very important. And this is a very narrow range. The body will not shuffle this number from 7.4 to 7.5. If it goes to 7.5, this is a case of coma. If it goes to 7.3 or below, maybe somewhere around, below 7 or something, it is a case of cancer. So that number at any cost body will maintain. So you have to make sure, do you want your body to get compromised by body, fixing these conditions on its own by leaching out certain things out of you and giving you these imbalances in the form of lifestyle disorders? Or this day onwards, you really want to start working on yourself, making yourself alkaline so that the body does not touch other areas and do not create those imbalances in other parts of the body. So this is why alkaline diet is so important for each and everybody, each one of us. Now, coming on to the marketing solutions that we see a lot of people coming up with, I would say to begin with, it is not a bad idea, because for somebody who just doesn't know anything about alkalinity, even if they start to consume something, so it's something like, something better than nothing. It's something like that kind of a scenario. At least you are having alkalinity through those waters which are being offered to you. But if you ask me that it is the solution for reversing your diseases, no, it is not. Why? Because you are not stopping the sources which are giving you acidity. So on one hand, maybe you've implemented those gadgets which are giving you alkaline water. But on the other side, you haven't stopped the consumption of those processed foods or those acidic foods, which are... So it's something like, this water is coming in to some part of it. It's neutralizing the effect of acidity, which is already there. And on the other hand, you are living a lifestyle and a diet which is keeping to add on that acidity to your body. So the net effect is going to be the body has nothing. Like, you really have to work both ways. From this side, include everything that makes you alkaline. On the other side, stop everything that makes you acidic. So this is where the healing condition you build in your body.
Yeah. And what are your suggestions regarding the general foods that we can take on a day-to-day basis, which will help restore the alkalinity? So totally understandable that doctor's foods are totally out of it, but what are the healthy foods that one can take?
Okay, see, broadly, if I have to put it across, this is one concept that is very common in modern science as well. It's you know, and now it's said that you should be consuming, say, at least 5 servings of fruits. Sorry, 3 to 5 servings of fruits and vegetables in a day. What does that mean? If you're consuming that much of fruits and vegetables in a day, you are quite an extent going high on alkalinity. So, if you talk of specific foods, what you should be consuming at a broad level, the more variety of fruits and vegetables that you start including in your diet and you start to go low on all this refined, packaged, and acidic stuff, is where you are raising your alkalinity level automatically. And from the specific foods perspective, which are very high on alkalinity, cucumbers are very high on alkalinity. And like, you know, you start your day with a cucumber juice. Then green leafy vegetables are very, very high on alkalinity. Like, so you like, I don't know if you follow our page. I keep recommending a lot about these green smoothies. And yes, I mean, that's one of our major focus. And the only reason is that is something early morning, the first thing that you're doing is you are raising your alkalinity quotient, which a lot of Indian households are not doing. We start our day with a tea and coffee, which is highly acidic. So what we are doing is maybe we are following a very good diet. We have a diet plan. Somebody gave us a diet plan. We are following it. But we are not focusing what is the quality of those foods. Is the quality of those foods acidic or is the quality of those foods alkaline? And this is what makes all the difference between over years, how your health will shape up, irrespective of whether you're following a calorie diet or a protein diet or whatever. Temporarily, it may give you the results that you're wanting, but in the long run, if that calorie counted plan is high on acidic foods, in that case, you are creating a base for even more, bigger diseases in the coming years, maybe another 5 years or 6 years or 10 years. So, you know, the choice of your foods is very, very important. One. Secondly, go very high on consumption of fruits and vegetables, and the some of the highest ones on alkalinity. I just told you, it's like cucumbers are very high on alkalinity. Green leafy vegetables are very high on alkalinity. Yeah, I guess, and these, you know, watermelon is very high on alkalinity, but then we do not recommend a lot of watermelon because it also has that sweet quality. So if you're consuming a lot of watermelon, then you're also adding a lot of sugars in your diet. So we really have to be very judicious on, we like on one side, we include the right alkaline things, but it should not happen that, if say fruits are very high on alkalinity, then they are very high on sugars also. So you have to be very mindful, like, you know, what inclusions are you doing?
So there is a better approach to go towards those things which are, high in water and minerals like
Hydrating
cucumber
and
and.
less on sugars.
So very well captured, and all the points related to the bone health and etc. have been captured. So when we talk about the nutrition and adoption of nutrition, the other thing that comes is the filtration which is happening in the kidneys. So kidneys are like, working all around the clock and filtering the blood and flushing out the toxins. So I think that is the another part that gets affected when you're not taking proper diets. So what is your opinion on that?
See, the concept of acidity and alkalinity, like when you go high on alkaline kind of foods, the one of the area one of the systems that you're best helping yourself is your renal system, your elimination system. Why? Because this is the system that is dealing with all the minerals inside the body, and the concept of acid and alkalinity is about mineralizing your body. So for the people who have these kidney stones, say for example, now, you know, do you think that we ingest those stones that become kidney stones? We are not eating stones, right? So what is it that is becoming stones inside the body? It's basically those high constant, yes, your own body, the accumulations in your own body, or the toxicity, or the mineral deposits in your own body, which which either have been leached out, which your kidney is trying to process, and it doesn't have that much of a capability of processing, or it is too much for the kidneys to process. Ultimately, whatever keeps residing inside the kidneys in the long run, these start to crystallize. So the stones are nothing but crystallizations of your own minerals inside the body. So this is, of course, this is one area that kidneys definitely can be either very highly impacted positively or negatively, depending how acidic you are. Like, I'll give you one example, and this is happening with a lot of women these days, specifically in my practice also. Like, I come across a lot of women, specifically the ones who are just entering their perimenopause stage, and the ones who are in their menopause. It's happening a lot with them. They have this, they're developing a lot of vaginal kind of issues and a lot of burning sensation, and which becomes a very private topic for the women who, and they just don't want to reach out to the experts also for this. For the ones who are reaching out, like in my practice only, with some of my clients, I realized that they tried having some, some medicine support also, but then these medicines have been about quick fixes, like, if you have some if you're developing such kind of conditions, it would be something like a wash or a some ointment that gives you temporary relief. But what we really need to understand here is that temporary relief is not the solution, because you are not stopping the source of that acid which is passing out through you. And why are these conditions happening? Because
And it becomes recurrent, and at times people go on doing the microbial testing and all those stuff, but and taking a lot of antibiotics, but that doesn't help. So
that doesn't help. Why? Because your kidneys are processing all these minerals. Like if you're going high on antibiotics also, these antibiotics are fighting with the bacteria, but these antibiotics do not know which is a good bacteria and what is a bad bacteria. So they are fighting with all the bacteria, which means if they are clearing you out, your system out of bad bacteria, they're also clearing you out of good bacteria also. If the good bacteria is out, you are on the path of being highly acidic. So, and when you're highly acidic, the system, this kidney system is the one which is buffering and which is clearing all that toxicity out of the body. As a part of that toxicity clearing and a lot of acids passing out through your urinal system, you end up having a lot of burning sensation and this inflammation and all these conditions that these women in their PMS stage or 40, perimenopause stage or even menopause stage are experiencing a lot. And it's become a very common norm. And as based on my personal experience, I've actually realized that it is majorly happening with the women who are already very high on acidic body state. What are the symptoms that you can figure out if you're very high on acidity, like the daily symptoms? It would be something like, so these symptoms happen at all the levels, physical, mental and emotional. You will see symptoms, acidic body symptoms in all the levels. Physical symptoms would be, you would be having a lot of skin issues, like your skin will be erupting a lot, like either in the form of acne or too much oily skin, or not a very good skin quality. Then it would show up in the form of aches and pains inside the body. Like unknowingly, you just start to get a lot of aches and pains inside the body. You don't know why. Like you get your tests done, but everything seems okay. Nothing seems to show up, but then still you are not feeling well. Then one of the major symptoms is when you wake up in the morning, you have a lot of stiffness inside the body. You don't have, it takes some time for you to kind of warm up your body and start moving your limbs, because what happens is that acidity starts to accumulate in the joints of the body. So when you wake up till the time you start moving slowly, that toxicity kind of neutralizes and gets out of the system. That's where you start moving. Then constant episodes of cold and cough, like somebody who's very prone to cold and cough in any season, like if you are in the AC for a very long time, then you end up having a cold or a sinus. If you're out in the environment, in a polluted environment, you end up having a cold or a cough for no reason. So this indicates that your body is very high on acidity. And then of course, any kind of health conditions, of course, is a manifestation of very highly acidic body state. So, but these are some of the common ones, and lot of mood swings. A lot of people don't relate their the body state and the kind of foods they consume can also impact your moods. Like, like some of the cases that I've seen previously, nothing wrong as such, but they go through a lot of emotional ups and downs for no reason. Like, there would be a time they would just don't feel like talking to anybody, or their moods are just not in place. And over time, when I get deeper into analyzing their reports and analyzing their diet and lifestyle patterns, we zero in on this idea that they're so high on acidity because their foods are telling a story, their lifestyle is telling a story, their blood report is telling a story, which ultimately is all about very high on acid. So this acid kind of impacts the functioning of your brain also, where you get a lot of mood swings and lows and, all these conditions. So these are some of the things that you can really kind of see for yourself. If you have these conditions, probably you may be very high on acidic levels.
Yeah, so seriously, so you have delved very deep into the concept, and I think we have really got a very bigger picture as well as the zeroed down picture about the entire concept. So glad that you shared all those points, because many of it is very unknown to the people, and it is very important for them to understand.
Right.
Another thing that I would like to ask you, that since we are on the topic of macrobiotic nutrition, so and there is a lot of correlation between what Ayurveda says about it and what the modern science says about it. So what is your take about?
Okay, see, let me just first classify these kinds of dietary patterns. So there are two ways of looking at diet. One is the ancient way of looking at diet, and the other one is the modern way of looking at diet. Any kind of fad diet that we know or think of, like, for example, again, a calorie counted diet, or a protein diet, or a mono diet, or a paleo diet, or Atkins diet, or whatever, like, whatever fad diets that we know today. Yeah, these are classified under the category of modern way of looking at foods. Not necessarily modern nutrition. That's a very broad term. But then, that's how in modern ways we have figured out ways to deal with some specific imbalances inside the body by tweaking diet in a way so that we work on specific parts of the body. Like when we are going high on protein, primarily we are working on the muscle part of the body. We are not bothered whether my digestive system is fine to be able to process that protein enough, whether my liver has that capacity to process the. So we are not bothered of all these concepts. We are just bothered of a problem area inside the body, and we have a diet that fixes that problem area, which also means modern diet is important to a certain extent for the people who are experiencing some specific health conditions and are really looking for a very quick fix to kind of start to feel okay in their body. But then that's a very that's a very short-term approach that you should be taking to till the time that your system gets somewhat in balance, and then moving on to more towards looking at foods from the holistic perspective. So this holistic perspective of foods comes majorly under the category of ancient nutrition. Now this ancient nutrition is class has been talked of in different forms. Like Ayurveda approach is a holistic way of looking at foods. Macrobiotic is another holistic way of looking at foods. And yogic way of diet is, I would say, is the one of the most deepest way of looking at foods, because it deals with your energy. It doesn't deal with the physical components, but how you work with your energy.
How to say that only that, one has to understand the energy of the foods and match with
Yes.
the energy of your body in order to decide
Yes.
what's good and what's bad. So
Right.
yeah, please go.
Yeah, so macrobiotics is this is what exactly macrobiotics and in macrobiotics this is how we look at foods. We don't look at foods from that, for example, carrot has this much vitamin A, or pumpkin has these many nutrients. We are least bothered about that, but that part is taken care by the modern nutrition. What we look at in the foods from macrobiotic perspective is what kind of energy these foods carry. Like I'll give an example. Somebody who has this severe lung condition, like say something like a asthma or a bronchitis, so these are the severe ones. But somebody who has this difficulty breathing and is on the path of converting becoming an asthmatic or some kind of bronchitis conditions. In macrobiotics, we when we look at a case, we can figure out that the lung health is not good for this person, and ultimately it might culminate in few years into an asthma or a bronchitis kind of a condition. Somebody who's very high on mucus also. So all these conditions are related to your respiratory health or your lung health. Now, in modern science, there is no fad diet which can help you figure out what is the best approach to work with your lungs so that you don't develop these conditions later in your life. But in macrobiotics and in Ayurveda, we do have these approaches. How we look at it from this pers from specifically from macrobiotic perspective, we look at foods which have this energy of strengthening your lungs. So this is how we look at foods from the macrobiotic perspective. What are the foods that strengthen your specific organ systems inside the body? Green leafy vegetables, okay, have the energy to strengthen your lungs. So for somebody who's onto this weak lung conditions, if they go high on green leafy vegetables, gradually they will see their mucus will start to come down. Sinus, cold cough, all these conditions gradually will start to come down. But it's lifestyle. It is not that you consume it for a week's time, or say 2 months or 3 months, and then you say that, okay, my problem. Yeah. So you have to live this lifestyle. Is again, time and again, I'm saying. In modern diet, it's you don't need to live this lifestyle. You're doing it for a specific purpose. In holistic, you're working on the foundations of the body. And in holistic nutrition, it is very easy for somebody who's educated into it to figure out what are you heading towards. Like I give you this example of respiratory disorder. Somebody who's very high on mucus today or tomorrow, someday, definitely, maybe 10 years later or 15 or 20 years later, if they don't stop now, will convert their problem into a bronchital issue or an asthma issue, or maybe constricted lungs or breathing problem or anything. So now we know that this person is walking this path, and is there something that we can stop him right here now and take him on a path of reversal so that he just don't land into that mess maybe 10 or 15 years later, right? So then we start working on a diet in a way.
Yeah, so it's basically a course correction that needs to be done, and it has to become a part of your lifestyle. It is not like
Yes,
you did
and
it for
it's
10, 15 days and you're done.
yes, and it's a lot of it. It's not just about course correction. It is about, it's about including the right kinds of foods for your specific health conditions. It is about incorporating right cooking styles. It is about making right food combinations. It is about eating foods at the right time. And most importantly, giving up what is not serving you. In modern nutrition, we don't do that. We include each and everything as long as it fits into that parameter of calorie count. So, broadly, this is majorly the difference between how we look at foods from macrobiotic or holistic perspective and how we look at it from the modern perspective. So,
Yeah.
it's modern is all about fixing certain things. And if you really want to heal, you want to reverse your condition, then the only approach is holistic nutrition. So, under holistic nutrition, it could be Ayurveda nutrition or a macrobiotic nutrition or a yogic nutrition, whatever you want to go ahead with. So, it's a broader term.
Yeah. Yeah, so glad that people have started realizing this. Maybe there has to be more education around it,
Yeah.
which will make them understand this deeper.
You're
So for
right.
that, I am sure that people can reach out to you anytime, and you're there to help them. Thanks a lot for sharing your views on this. I really think that this has been a great exchange of information, because many of these things are superficially people read it somewhere or the other, but they do not understand it in depth. And
Right.
correlating it with the basics of life and how it is happening inside the body is very important. So
Yes,
thank you so
as
much. And yeah, please.
Yeah, so just one thing, like very commonly I keep saying that eating for healing is so simple. It is so simple that simplicity is complicated. It's that kind of a scenario. So it's very simple, very,
True.
very simple. But then we've gotten so much entangled into that complication of finding like something fancy coming over and then we wanting to incorporate and all that. So it's going very, very simple, and your conditions are automatically taken care of. The more simpler you get, the more you get onto that healing path.
Yeah, so we don't have any questions as of now, but I would like to request anyone who sees this session later or is seeing it right now, please feel free to write to any of us, and we'll be glad to take your questions. And I would like to thank you for your time. Any takeaway, take home message that you want to share with the viewers?
Yes, from the dietary perspective, and specifically the times we are in, the pandemic times, and things have been tough. A lot of people, I would say majority of people, are just not aware how powerful foods can be. Okay, so
Yeah.
when you are getting into any specific kind of remedies, for example, okay, remedies definitely do work. They're very good, and for a lot of people in these pandemic times, they have actually worked. But then, as I talked about this concept of alkalinity, also don't look at remedies in isolation. So if you do not start correcting your diet and lifestyle from the source perspective, probably those remedies are also not giving you the benefit, because the whole idea is your body has to be really clean of any kind of toxicity. So that's the ground takeaway, that if you have a lot of mucus, then you are not clean. If you have a lot of acidity and bloating, then you're not clean. If you are constipated, then you're not clean. If you're not breathing well, then you're not clean. And if you're not clean, and on top of it you are including some remedies, then these remedies will also not be very effective. Why? Because in an unclean environment, it's something like, your organ systems have that coating of toxicity. So, and these systems are on the only one that will keep you survived for a long time. So that one remedy cannot do much about you if you are not supporting yourself with giving away what is not serving you. So be consume a lot of fruits and vegetables, be on a very natural kind of foods, try to ditch a lot of packaged and processed foods. Sugars are like poison for us. So these are some of the takeaways, and these are very powerful takeaways. If you start implementing these can really transform a lot inside you.
Yeah, true. And all the toxins actually block the benefits of the goods that you can have.
Yes,
So it's,
exactly.
yeah, so
So you
very
have to
true.
work both ways, like keep doing your remedies, but also on the other side, work on the sources that you are taking, which are giving you a lot of toxicity.
That's so true. Thank you so much, Dipti, for your time. And we would really love to have you again and,
Sure, definitely.
refresh our knowledge with more of these
Anytime,
things.
yeah, please feel free. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you so
Okay.
much.
Thank you
Take
so much.
care.
Thank you for having
Bye-bye.
me. Thank you. Yeah, bye.
Bye.